Series, winning last summer at Pocono with the Wood Brothers and running well early this season with his new Team Penske team. But it's not just the accomplishments on the racetrack that have put him in the spotlight, but the amount of time that he spends with the race fans while at the track. Something that he says he picked up from his father, Dave.
I felt like my dad was really good at, you know, giving a lot of his time to the fans and appreciating them. And you're growing up in the garage area and you're admiring your dad and you watch him do everything. That's what you learn.
And Blaney will pull double duty this weekend in Las Vegas for Team Penske, racing in both the NASCAR Xfinity and Monster Energy Cup races. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today Midday on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in the Todd Brawley Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for a few more minutes here on a Tuesday night, 6:04. We are out at 6:23 tonight for high school basketball. Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune set to join us in just a few seconds. We'll talk a little Twins baseball. They're taking on the Red Sox tonight in Grapefruit League action, and we'll find out the latest on the Twins, which was, we reminded you, you can hear on 107.5 FM all summer long. People continuing to reference retro logos on National Retro Day. Someone asked about the Orlando Magic, the original Magic logo. That's one that I would say isn't as good as the one now.
Really?
The old logo where the star was the A,
I think
it just looks a little kind of double A-ish,
I think
minor league to me.
People like that one because that was the last time the Orlando Magic
were good
relevant.
When they had Shaq and Penny. And
yeah, well, they had a run when Dwight Howard was leading them to the Eastern Conference Finals, but not much else to speak of.
All right, speaking of the state of Florida, we referenced Phil at the Twins camp in Florida. We'll bring him on now, Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And so many places, Phil, that we can start with. And by the way, we appreciate you joining us. We know the Twins are taking on the Red Sox tonight. But I want to start with the story that you wrote today about Miguel Sano. He's finally been interviewed by Major League Baseball, the allegations hanging over him most of the offseason. Have we finally got a little bit of movement on that front as to when we could know what, if any, punishment he could face?
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know any more other than the investigation has proceeded to that point. And investigators have told us that you normally interview the accused last you have your evidence such as it is, whatever it might be in front of you. So this is a sign that perhaps the investigation is wrapping up. I know the Twins were hoping that they would know something before camp started, but that's obviously not happened. But at least before the season started, they hope to have that cloud removed, where at least they know what is if there's any punishment and what that punishment is. And they they want, from the Twin standpoint, they want justice to be served, whatever it is. But they also want to focus on getting him healthy with another month to go before the season starts.
Now, speaking of Miguel Sano, on a much less serious note, water's wet, the sky is blue, and his weight is being discussed coming into spring training. How big of a talking point is that right now in the Twin Cities?
Well, it's a big talking point among the fans, that's for sure. And you don't normally hear the team mention it as openly as they have in this case. But part of the problem is he had surgery on his shin in November. And, he was in a cast. He couldn't do much of anything for a couple of months. So, he went home at, I'm trying to think of a generous carriage is how Thad Levine assessed his physical shape at the end of the year. And it didn't get any better in the off season. I'm told that his weight did not go down in the off season, and that he's got some conditioning to do. There's been some speculation that maybe they would hold him out for a while and make him really attack that. But Paul Molitor intends to get him back in the lineup in an occasional spring game starting as early as tomorrow. I'm not sure that is still the plan, but it may well be because he has looked relatively good in the field. He has work to do on conditioning, but he still appears I don't know if nimble is the right word, but he's able to fill his position, at least in drills, and so they want to get an idea. He's still above the weight they want him to play at, and I don't know how they're going to get him to bring it down, but as long as he can play, they want him in the lineup.
Phil Miller with us from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, talking Minnesota Twins. You can hear him all summer long on 107.5 FM. Let's talk about Logan Morrison. I think this is the signing of the offseason so far as what it could mean to the team that signed the player compared to with what they spent. This is a $6.5 million guarantee. This is relative peanuts for a guy whose production last year, and granted, it was a career year for him, would have led the Twins in most of those categories last year. Did they strike gold here, in your opinion, with this late signing?
Well, it's only 1 year. That is the one thing that Logan Morrison was a different hitter last year, but that's not just in the results. It was also in his approach. He is a the Rays, with a very good analytics department, convinced him to work on his launch angle to basically uppercut the ball more and try to hit fly balls, because he's got the power that if he can get it up in the air and out, it'll carry out over the fence a lot. 38 home runs, that is remarkable. I think the Twins had planned to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $7 million on a hitter, a bench bat that they could that they could use to pinch hit, and maybe in a leadership role, kind of like the Chris Jimenez signing a year ago. And I think Logan Morrison absolutely fell into their lap. I don't think they ever dreamed that they would get a hitter of that accomplishment and that age. He's only 30 for that money. But it's been a strange free agent market. That he was convinced, apparently, by the direction the team is going, and by some of his, Jake Odorizzi is on the team now, and apparently tried to convince him to come here. We haven't spoken to him yet. He has not appeared in camp, but by all accounts, if he has anything like the year he had last year, or really at this price, if he has the year he had before he changed his batting stroke, it's a really good buy. And I did not think that they would get anyone this year that would change their starting lineup, but I think Logan Morrison will force them to.
What do you think the playing time between him and Joe Mauer at first base might look like? Obviously, Joe Mauer probably the starting first baseman, Logan Morrison the DH, but might be a little bit more of a rotation there at times?
Yeah, maybe so. They're both left-handed hitters, so it's not ever going to be a platoon. And Morrison is not the fielder that Joe is. Joe really had a great year with the glove. But Paul Molitor likes to give him 1 or 2 days off a week. You know, they discovered that less playing time really makes Joe more productive. You know, we haven't seen him yet here in spring training, for instance. So I think there will be plenty of opportunities. One thing about him is they are a very left-handed team now. Joe Mauer, Rosario, Kepler, now Logan Morrison, the heart of their order is very left-handed, so they have to be a little concerned about how vulnerable they are to left-handed pitching. But that's where Miguel Sano comes in, so they really do have a lot at stake with Miguel Sano's health and availability.
Does the Morrison signing pretty much spell the end for Kenny Vargas? I know you were tweeting about watching him doing a bunting drill earlier today, which I find the idea of that fascinating, but he's out of options. I know there was some talk of maybe him exploring options in Korea over the offseason, but the Twins didn't go that route. But he seems to be sort of the odd man out here.
He really does. The question is, if they try to outright him, would he get through waivers? And would they be able to keep him, convince him to stay? It's an open question. I know there are still people on the coaching staff and in the front office who think that how can we let a guy with this kind of power go? But they're also, I've heard more than once that Kenny doesn't take great at bats. That he has a lot of power, but it's more a matter of running into one than manipulating the pitcher and try to get himself a good pitch. So that's the kind of the hang up that they have about him. And you know, I think they're willing to write off last year because they sent him down four different times. So that kind of yo-yo is going to affect you. But I'd say they really need Kenny to show something in spring camp this next month. And even then, it's hard to figure out whose job he would take that would not make the roster instead of him.
Now, I know a lot of people, a lot of national baseball writers are predicting that this is the breakout year for Byron Buxton, and he's a notoriously slow starter, and I feel like the last couple of seasons, or at least 2 years ago, he dug himself such a hole with his numbers throughout most of the season, had a really good September. Last year, had a good second half. How convinced are you that this could be his breakout season where he can have a somewhat consistent year?
Well, I would say that he needs to do it before you're convinced of it, because you're right, he has ended each of the past two seasons with a really strong September. Last August and September was the best stretch of his career. But, you know, he had a good September the year before and came back and had the slow start again. I know that they are concerned about it, and they are trying to figure out ways to speed up his comfort level. But you have to say, you know, he's only 24 still, so it's nothing to worry about at this point. But until he actually does get off to a better start, I think it's always going to be a question. How was he in April at Cedar Rapids a few years ago?
He was pretty good when he was in the minors. It wasn't until he necessarily got to the big leagues where he started with those early struggles. But I think it's I think this is going to be a year where he turns the corner. He just comes out of the gate and plays really well. I really do. My gut feeling anyway. Phil, I feel like we've buried the lead, though, here. We haven't really talked about pitching a whole lot. Irvin Santana with the injury, we know that he's not going to be available for several weeks into the season. The Twins did make that move, bringing Jake Odorizzi in. What do you think the starting rotation is going to look like in the early part of the season?
Well, this is a kind of a an unusual year and maybe a fortuitous year for the Twins. They have five off days in the first 2.5 weeks of the season because they have northern opening days in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Minneapolis, and each of them comes with an opening day and then a weather day. So those are off days for them, assuming they get the openers in. And then they have 2 days off on either side of their trip to San Juan, Puerto Rico in the middle of the month. So because of that, they only need a fifth starter once in through, I think it's April 24th, something like that. So they really won't have to go beyond their starting rotation for a start other than just once before Irvin gets back, or at least that is the plan. How it looks, well, you got to say Jose Barrios earned the ability to be the top of the order, the top of the rotation while Irvin is gone this year. Odorizzi is obviously going to be right there. Kyle Gibson coming off a pretty strong September and has pitched well in the bullpen and in his one start so far this spring. It would take a lot to get Kyle out of that, I think. And then you've got quite a scramble. Phil Hughes has looked pretty good. He pitched 91, 92 miles an hour last night, and I think that's very encouraging. Adalberto Mejia, a left-hander, they like a lot. Paul Molitor really likes his stuff, thinks that it's just a matter of a little bit more experience before he's a pretty solid starter. Just before I answered your call, Anibal Sanchez, their reclamation project from the Tigers, faced six batters and retired them all against the Red Sox. He's kind of a dark horse, but it's an interesting case. The Twins think they spotted something in the numbers and in video that at least to some extent they think they can fix him and return him to effectiveness. If that's the case, this battle for the rotation becomes really interesting.
Quickly, before we let you go, what has Paul Molitor said about the bullpen this year? Obviously, some big additions this offseason in Fernando Rodney and Addison Reed. You had Trevor Hildenberger, who was a revelation last year coming up from the minor leagues. Looks to be a pretty solid mix of pitchers there for Molitor to go to late in games.
Yeah, the veteran leadership at the back end will be interesting. You know, they signed Fernando Rodney early in the winter, and so he's going to be the closer at least for the start. And then they signed Zach Duke to be the left-handed specialist. I don't think they expected Addison Reed to fall into their lap the way they did, the way he did. Only $16 million for 2 years. I think that was kind of a surprise to them. So the nice thing about that is Fernando Rodney's 41. They realize it's kind of a gamble to give him the closer responsibilities. But Addison Reed has been a pretty reliable closer in the past, too. So if Fernando Rodney pitches like a 41-year-old, there's really no reason to panic. I think they'd rather use Addison Reed as a setup man. But and then they have Taylor Rogers, Hildenberger, probably Tyler Duffy, Busenitz. They've got some young guys coming up behind them too. Lewis Thorpe and Jake Reed, who could be up by midseason. I think they feel a lot better about their bullpen this year than they did a year ago.
We always appreciate you taking time to check in with us, especially tonight with the game going on. Phil, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Talk to you later.
Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune checking in from Twins camp. Twins taking on the Red Sox as we speak.
And I wanted to get to this with Phil, but we ran short on time. He wrote about this a few days ago. Steven Gonsalves, a good friend of the show. Friend of the show was in Cedar Rapids in 2015. Seems primed to make his major league debut this season if everything goes well. They've kind of taken it slow with him, let him get settled in at every level. He'll get settled in at Rochester, and we might see him in the majors this year.
They've got some guys coming up. Gonsalves is one of them. Aaron Sleggers made his debut last year. Who's going to probably
infamous?
He was the infamous toilet plugger at my household. he's going to start the year in Rochester. He'll be rotation depth. Felix Jorge could start or be a reliever. He made his debut last year. So there are some young arms in the Twins system that they can rely on moving forward, and it's going to be interesting to see whether they're the team that steps forward and really challenges Cleveland this year for AL Central supremacy. Again, you can follow along right here on 107.5 FM all summer long. We're going to keep it here. We got to take our last break, right? Last break, come back. We'll get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update really quick, and then we'll get you off to the U.S. Cellular Center and high school basketball tonight. Back after this.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
Dear Glovebox Granola Bar, I bit off more than I can chew. It's been months and things are starting to get a little stale. Sure, you're there when I need you, but do I even want you? You're completely nuts. And a few dried raisins. I'm done reaching for you in desperation. And all signs are pointing to special sauce.
Let others know you've rediscovered your love for the undeniably craveable Big Mac. And for a limited time, try the Mac Jr. and the Grand Big Mac, all with that irresistible special sauce. At participating McDonald's.
Welcome back in. This is going to do it for us on a Tuesday edition of the program. Tomorrow, Big Ten Tournament, Hawkeyes and Illini. It'll be going on while we're on the air. Follow along. You can also win some WWE Road to WrestleMania tickets tomorrow. We can't leave you, though, without a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, the last one of the night. Here's Kyle.
Rick Heller and his 5-1 Hawkeye baseball team are playing their home opener today at Duane Banks Field against Cornell College. They got started around the same time as we did, with freshman Trenton Wallace making the start. They're in the seventh inning now. The Hawkeyes lead 11-1, and most of the starters have been pulled. 7 of 9 of them had hits. 8 of 9 of them scored runs, and Lorenzo Elion and Justin Jenkins each have 3 RBIs. Lost in the busy news day yesterday was that the Iowa basketball team will be one of the headliners at the 2K Classic, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project at Madison Square Garden in November, along with Syracuse, Oregon, and UConn. The Colonels announced today that with fan safety in mind, they'll be extending the netting behind the plate at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Where the netting previously extended to each dugout, it will now extend essentially to the end of each dugout. You're hearing us on the North or South Gym right now because it's senior night in Ames. They're hosting Oklahoma State and sending off Donovan Jackson, Jeff Beverly, and Hans Braze. And they got started just a little bit ago. And I can get you a score here in just a second. We're going to be off the air altogether beginning at 6:25 because the big week for high school basketball continues. First, we'll have Iowa commit Joe Wieskamp and Muscatine taking on Linmar in a sub-state final from the U.S. Cellular Center, followed by Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Iowa City West. And you can hear those games on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
It was 21-18, I think, the last time I saw a score from Ames, so a tight one. As they make their way down the stretch, you can hear it right now on 1600 AM high school basketball on the way. That'll do it. Podcast at KGYMRadio.com. Thanks for listening.
Napa know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards Program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start